The Clinton White House today will release its final economic report of the president. Bill Clinton leaves office a week from tomorrow, having presided over the most dynamic American economy in at least a generation. As part of a series on the Clinton legacy, NPR economics correspondent John Idsty reports on how much credit the Clinton administration deserves for this period of prosperity.
In the final 3 months of 1999, the booming U.S. economy was expanding at breakneck speed, growing at a rate of more than 8% a year. As he gave his final State of the Union address last January, President Clinton reveled in the economy's achievements.
We began the new century with over 20 million new jobs, the fastest economic growth in more than 30 years, the lowest unemployment rates in 30 years, the lowest poverty rates in 20 years, the lowest African-American and Hispanic unemployment rates on record, the first back-to-back surpluses in 42 years, and next month, America will achieve the longest period of economic growth in our entire history.
This reality was unimaginable when President-elect Bill Clinton was about to take office 8 years ago. Pessimism was widespread as the economy grew sluggishly from the recession of the early 1990s. Unemployment was still above 7%, and the budget deficit was projected to be over $300 billion in 1993. That put Mr. Clinton in a bind. He had campaigned on reducing two deficits, the budget deficit and what he described as the investment deficit, a lack of spending on education, infrastructure, and other public goods. But, says former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, as he waited in Little Rock with the budget deficit soaring, Mr. Clinton got an offer he couldn't refuse from the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Alan Greenspan said essentially, "Look, Mr. President, you give up your $50 billion a year investment plan, get the deficit down, and I will reduce short-term interest rates. As a result, the economy will boom, you'll get reelected in 1996, and all of us will be happy." And the president accepted that deal.
The actual dialogue between the two men was likely much more subtle, but essentially this was Greenspan's message, says Reich. And in a meeting of his economic team in Little Rock a couple of weeks before he took office, the president-elect made his priorities clear, says former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin.
The president looked at us and he said, "Look, I was elected to reestablish economic growth in our country. The deficit, the fiscal deficit, is the threshold issue, and I'm prepared to proceed with that as our priority and to defer some of the other things I'd like to do until we reestablish fiscal discipline."
Clinton sent a budget with tax increases and spending cuts to the Congress in 1993 that called for reducing the federal deficit by $500 billion over 5 years. It passed the House by one vote with no Republican support. A tie in the Senate was broken by Vice President Gore. Rubin says that Mr. Clinton's leadership ultimately led to lower deficits and lower interest rates, setting the stage for an investment-led boom in the U.S. economy, for which the president should get significant credit. Stephen Moore of the Libertarian Cato Institute and the Club for Growth disagrees.
Look, Bill Clinton says my policies fought us out of this recession we were in. But if you look at the statistics, I mean, we'd been out of the recession for a year before Bill Clinton even took office. The economy, the 2 quarters before Bill Clinton took office, grew at 3 or 4%. So I'm not a big believer that this tax increase that we had in 1993 was necessary. But the good news is we survived it.
Actually, Moore and other Republicans had predicted that the Clinton tax increases would plunge the economy back into recession. Moore also argues that Mr. Clinton's economic legacy was aided by the failure of some of his early initiatives.
There were sort of two Clinton presidencies, really. The Clinton presidency when he had a Democratic Congress and the Clinton presidency which moved more politically to the middle after the Republicans took office. Now, I think that if Bill Clinton had gotten everything passed that he had wanted to do in 1993, the economy would have suffered quite a bit. But thankfully, we didn't pass the Hillary health care plan. We didn't pass a lot of his big spending initiatives like the fiscal stimulus that he wanted to pass back in 1993. And so the paradox of the Clinton presidency is, to some extent, Clinton was saved from himself.
Moore thinks Mr. Clinton contributed most to the economic revival in America by supporting and signing conservative initiatives like welfare reform and a cut in the capital gains tax, and by supporting free trade and reappointing Alan Greenspan to chair the Federal Reserve. But much of that list troubles the most liberal members of the president's party, including Robert Reich. He feels the social safety net has been largely removed, and investments in education and training shortchanged in recent years, as politicians have raced first to reduce the deficit, then to balance the budget, and finally to pay off the national debt.
You know, at the end of the 1980s, George Bush the Elder said, "We have more will than wallet." Well, at the end of the 1990s, beginning of the 21st century, I think it's fair to say we have more wallet than will. We have an extraordinary economy, we have huge budget surpluses, and yet we have not had the political will to make these kinds of public investments the centerpiece of our economic thinking. The last campaign, the big debate was between a big tax cut, mostly benefiting the very well-off, or eliminating the national debt.
Former Treasury Secretary Rubin agrees more needs to be done for those who are struggling in the inner cities and distressed rural areas.
I do not think this country has marshaled its resources to a degree commensurate with the problem, and I think it's in the interest of all of us to do it. But I don't agree with his criticism of the administration. The president likes to say the strong economy is the best social policy, and I think that is surely the case. I think that the emphasis on deficit reduction and reestablishing economic strength was the best possible thing and the most important thing one could do for those who are least well off.
President Clinton's tenure was also marked by several international economic crises, which the administration and the Federal Reserve managed to navigate while keeping the U.S. economy on course, though many emerging economies suffered. Mr. Clinton pushed trade liberalization, implementing NAFTA and the global treaty that created the World Trade Organization. He also achieved normal trade relations with China. But one result of this agenda was that the country became increasingly polarized over globalization, says C. Fred Bergston of the Institute for International Economics.
The country is split over that issue. There's a stalemate on it in the Congress, and as a result, the Clinton administration leaves its successor with a huge job ahead in trying to develop a new domestic consensus for U.S. trade policy and U.S. engagement in the world economy more broadly.
Though he may not have healed the rifts in his own party on globalization, President Clinton did move it significantly in the direction of a party that put more trust in markets and fiscal discipline to achieve its goals, says Robert Rubin.
I was at a Democratic Senate caucus about 6 months before I left Treasury. And in the course of the conversation, Joe Lieberman stood up and he said, "You know, the Democratic Party has become the party of good economic policy, and that's something none of us would have thought possible 10, 15, 20 years ago." And I think he's right. I think it's a very good thing for all of our citizens.
The Clinton administration's contribution to the vibrant economy of the late 1990s will be debated for many years. Certainly, a big share of the credit for the prosperous times should go elsewhere. After all, Mr. Clinton was fortunate to be in the White House at a time of savvy monetary policy under Alan Greenspan, at a time when American companies were stronger than ever, and during the flowering of computer technology, which boosted the productivity of American workers. Still, President Clinton was much more engaged in economic policy than most of his predecessors. There's no doubt a vibrant economy will be his most positive presidential legacy. John Idsty, NPR News, Washington.